listening to Viral Podcasting, the place to go to learn how to generate a six-figure income or more from your podcast. To get the latest tips and information, go to viralpodcasting.com.
Welcome. You are listening to Viral Podcasting. I'm Kerry Lutz, and this is show number 13. Well, it's not enough that you just hear my experiences, what's worked for me, what can work for you. You need to hear it from as many people as possible because it's a question of repetition. It's a question of focus. The more you hear it, the more you're going to know what to do. And got a special guest for you today. His name is Daniel J. Lewis. And Daniel, you're an award-winning podcaster who helps others launch and improve your podcast. And you love sharing your passions and helping people find success. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kerry. I always love talking about podcasting and helping others make amazing podcasts.
Yeah, and it can be done. And basically, it's become your passion to help people do this. And, you know, Daniel, I think we all kind of start in the same place. We post our first 5-10 shows. We expect the world to open up at our feet, and somehow it doesn't. So we need people like you to help guide us there. How did you wind up getting into this exactly?
Well, I got into podcasting first because I realized I knew how to do these kinds of things that other people were doing too. I was listening to This Week in Tech and Grammar Girl, and I realized these people are talking into a microphone. They are producing an RSS feed. I think I can figure out how to do that. I know how to edit audio. I know how to create content. So that's what got me into it many years ago. What got me then into the space of helping podcasters or helping people to start a podcast was I was listening to some other podcasts about podcasting, and I noticed a void, a particular approach, perspective, some tips, some other information that was missing. And I felt like I had something I could add to the conversation about podcasting, a unique perspective, unique background to help podcasters really make an amazing podcast. And so I launched the Audacity to Podcast in 2010. Now I've been doing that for 7 years then.
Wow. And for me, sixth anniversary of Financial Survival Network is going to be tomorrow. So we've both been at this a long time. And when you first started, right, at least you had the basics of editing, of basic computer knowledge. You figured you could do this. But what was your biggest obstacle when you started?
I think that for everyone, it's finding an audience. My first podcast was a clean comedy podcast, and that was what I started back in 2007. And I didn't really know how to promote a podcast back then. I didn't know how to find an audience. I just thought if I create this podcast, people will naturally find it. And that was easier to do back then because there were so fewer podcasts. Podcasts had only been around for about 3 years back then. I don't know what number I was, somewhere in the tens of thousands probably before it hit 100,000. But still, it was easier to be discovered. But I think every podcaster, regardless of when they launch, unless they were the first one to launch, will face that same issue of how do I get people to discover my content? How do I get in front of the right audience?
Yeah, that is a real good question. And it's something we address in Viral Podcasting, finding your archetype. Some people call it your avatar as such. And it was definitely easier back then. You didn't have to be as good, perhaps, and you didn't have to be as obsessed with audience building as you do now. But it still wasn't easy. It didn't, your audience didn't just build itself, did it?
No, certainly not. And what I found with the podcasting back then, as well as now, is you really have to find your audience, not wait for them to find you. So you go out there where your ideal audience is, whether that's in communities, whether that's the audience of other podcasts, and not to unethically spam all of these different communities and try and steal attention, but to collaborate, to build your reputation, to build relationships with these people, and then even turn your existing audience into ambassadors for your own podcast.
Hey, that is a great point. And you think there's always room for another podcast, or are we going to hit saturation here?
There is always room. I'm surprised how much people can niche down on certain topics. Like, I have a podcast about podcasting, and there are many other podcasts about podcasting, but some people have niched down to now there are podcasts specifically about advertising in podcasts, or podcasts specifically about narrative style podcasting. So they're finding more niches in it. So even with any other industry, there's some way you could niche down. And yes, every time you niche down, that means you have a smaller potential audience, but it means that to that audience, you can have a deeper connection because no one else is talking about their specific niche. I mean, if you want to have the Commodore 64 podcast for all of those fans of the Commodore 64, which I grew up on a Commodore 64 and a PC Junior and all of those kinds of computers back then, but you could have the podcast about that and no one else is an expert on that. You become the expert on that. So the people who listen to that then don't stumble upon it accidentally. They are listening because they are totally interested in that niche topic. So with a much more engaged, albeit smaller audience, you can do a lot more with that. And you can even monetize that better than with a larger unengaged audience.
Yeah, I think that's a great point because one of the things we talk about is, hey, do you want your audience to be unemployed millennials living in the basement or attic of their parents' house? Or do you want owners of Gulfstream 650 or, you know, private jets? Might only be a couple thousand of the latter, and yet it could be a far more lucrative market if you get a couple hundred of them listening to you. I mean, that's where the money's at.
Exactly. And it's in that relevance too. If you are reaching people with something that is 100% relevant to them, it's far more likely that they'll take action. It's like when you drive by a billboard. Most of the billboards you drive by are probably not relevant to you. But if you happen to find one that is 100% relevant, it's not as worthwhile to the company to do a billboard ad like that, but it might be relevant to you. And because it's relevant, you'll be more likely to take action on it. Similarly, with your podcast, if your audience and your message and your sponsor or the product you're promoting, the business you're promoting, anything like that, if it's more relevant to them, they'll be more likely to take action. And then in turn, you can profit from that.
Yeah, and that's a really important point, relevance. And that's where, you know, niching down, micro niching, if you will, really can differentiate you from somebody else who's talking about a similar topic, but not drilling down as far as you are. And obviously, Dan, you worked with a lot of podcasters during the time you've been podcasting, especially because you've been at it for so long. Can you think of an instance where you really helped somebody see the light and really build a podcast that really succeeded?
One of my favorites was Jordan Harbinger with the Art of Charm podcast. And he was one of my first students who went through something that back then I called a podcast masterclass. Today it's called Podcasters Society and it's a membership site. But back then it was a month-long intensive course for helping people improve their podcasts. Now it's more ongoing support. But Jordan was already a pretty successful podcaster back then. And when working with him through, at that time, Podcast Masterclass, he, in our conversations, the training, the evaluation, we were able to raise certain little details about his podcast and about his approach to business with his podcast, and even to simply how he was measuring the success of his podcast that helped give him a more realistic perspective of where he is now, as well as specific things that he could do to improve. So that to this day, he still tells me every now and then that he looks back at that as the turning point for his podcast, that before then he hadn't achieved number one in iTunes or hadn't been featured so much in iTunes before then. And he feels that through some of the training and the evaluation and the help that he got then, that really put him on the right path that today has made The Art of Charm one of the top podcasts in iTunes. And that's really to his credit, not to mine. I mean, yes, I pointed him in the right direction. I helped him. I revealed certain things. He's the one who did those things that I pointed out. So you can hire a consultant. You can listen to these things that are highly motivational, that give you all of this great advice. And you can pay hundreds or thousands of dollars to get experts' opinions on things. Mm-hmm. But if you don't actually do the work, then all of that investment you've made would just be a waste because you're not doing what you need to do. It's like hiring a personal trainer so you could lose weight or build muscle and never actually doing anything they tell you to do. It's you're hiring someone else's expertise, but it's on you to get it done.
Yeah, that's such a great point. It's not enough to just hear what you need to do or see what you need to do. You actually have to apply it. So he actually applied it and it worked. So you must have known you were onto something then.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to reform Podcast Masterclass into a membership where I could help more people in it, not just be this month-long intensive, but could be an ongoing membership where I create new resources and support members on an ongoing basis. And I that's my main business focus now. And I really am, I'm actually more passionate about helping people improve their podcasts than helping people to launch a new podcast. I love seeing people launch new podcasts, and I'm much more passionate about helping them make it much more amazing after they've launched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Once you get past the technical aspects of doing a podcast, then you're in a refinement process where you improve your editing, you improve your rollout, consistency, all that. It's a kind of evolutionary process. So really getting the person to really excel becomes what it's about. And really helping them to focus on their strengths. Have you heard somebody who you've said, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing a podcast?
Yeah, there have been some I've talked to with that. There were some issues sometimes where it was actually a matter of their voice. Now, that's very, very rare that it would be an issue of someone's voice. But there have been other times where maybe it's the technology, or maybe it's the different pieces of creating a podcast, and recognizing that, well, maybe for you right now, a podcast may not be the best thing for you to do, but maybe you could do YouTube videos instead, or maybe you could start by blogging. Start in these little steps. You don't have to start a podcast, although I really do believe that anyone can change the world with a message, and that a podcast is the best way to share that message because of how much more intimate a podcast is compared to all other media. But if you're not able to make a podcast at this point where you are now, that's okay. You can do what you can to start building your platform, start getting your message out. And then someday when you're ready to, you can start into podcasting.
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, I've heard shows where I just kind of cringe. I don't think voice quality really plays that big a role in it. Yeah, if you have a great voice, obviously, then yeah, go for it. Why not?
Yeah, and the only time that I would say your voice kind of plays a part in it is, and this was for this one person who, a very smart person, but they knew that due to some health issues, their voice was very difficult to understand. They'd had some injuries or something in the past, and so their voice had what we might consider many speech impediments, and it did make it difficult to listen to them, difficult to understand. But the main thing, and I pointed this out to them, is there are other podcasters out there who do podcast, and they don't let that hold them back. So while you may not be able to expect a large audience, the big thing is whatever you feel your weakness is, don't let that hold you back. Focus on communicating the best way that you can. Maybe that's with your voice. Maybe that's in writing. Maybe it's something else.
I think that's a great point. And that your limitations, yeah, you can have some physical limitations to doing this, but those are exceedingly rare and perhaps can be overcome. And
yeah.
Have you heard a podcast recently, a newer podcast, say, that really resonated with you, that you said, this one has it?
I actually don't check out new podcasts all that often. One of the reasons is I know that unless it's a podcast coming from someone who's already very experienced in podcasting and very experienced with communication, the first episodes of many podcasts, and I prefer the independent podcasts, the first episodes are not always that great. I would much rather wait until they've really found their voice for their podcast before I start listening. But that said, I tend to check out podcasts about podcasting often because that's my specific industry. So I want to see what are other people saying. And one thing, and this is in this particular industry, because this is where I'm most interested, but this can apply to pretty much any other industry. What I have found is those podcasts that I might check out to see, oh, so-and-so started a new podcast about podcasting, I'll check it out. Many of these podcasts don't have their own voice. They don't have their own perspective. They're simply repeating the information from others. And that could happen in any industry. It's not only the podcast about podcasting space. So if you are wanting to start a podcast in an industry that already has a podcast about that topic, find your unique perspective. Don't merely be yet another voice saying the same thing. Be someone who covers the same information differently, or covers different information, or brings a completely different perspective that the industry needs.
Yeah, very, very important. You don't want to just imitate. I mean, we see a million and one people imitating our good friend John Dumas's podcast, Entrepreneur on Fire. How many entrepreneurs do you want to hear saying the same stuff over and over again? I think it's real important that you find your voice. And when you find your voice, you find your audience, right?
Yes, because you will connect with them better and you will be more authentic when you are using your voice instead of trying to use someone else's formula for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, as the saying goes. However, it's not going to necessarily make you a success because you're imitating a successful podcast already out there. And as far as going into the future, Daniel, where do you see successful podcasters migrating to insofar as areas, topics, and perhaps technology?
I think the technology will become easier and will gradually disappear, especially on the side of the consumer. And that's our big obstacle in podcasting. The problem in podcasting is not discovery. That's the problem podcasters have, but that's not the problem consumers have. The problem consumers have is the obstacle to either understanding podcasts or to subscribing to them. So we'll see that technology gradually disappear, as well as having to explain what a podcast is. As that grows, yes, we'll see a lot more big name agencies and celebrities and outlets creating more podcasts and bringing more attention to podcasting. And as much as we may want to carry the flag for the independent podcasters, we need these big name people in the podcasting space because they bring a lot more attention, a lot more audience to the podcasting space. And then it's up to us to talk to our friends, to talk to people we know, and reveal to them this whole world of information that's much more relevant and more niche than those highly produced public radio style podcasts they've been listening to. And that's what really appealed to me about podcasting in the beginning. I was listening to local radio talk shows that were about sports or politics or finances, that kind of typical stuff, or relationships. But a podcast, I found podcasts about topics 100% relevant to me. And I became much more passionate about them, those, because of their relevance. So when you're looking at the space, I know right now the big thing is true crime. That's a big industry now because of the launch or the success of Serial. A few years ago, it was the entrepreneur interview podcast. Before that, video game podcasts or technology. Comedy is always a big one. There's not really a thing that we should be looking for to participate in the next big thing. The most important thing is to make your content, your show, be the next big thing to your ideal audience so that you become number one to them. That's what makes your podcast be more powerful and helps it grow more so that the audience you have is so passionate that they're telling everyone else about your podcast. And that is something that you can have, and that personal relationship with your audience that the big guys can't have. So even though they've got tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars behind them and a whole team of marketers and producers and writers and all of that, you may be one person literally in your basement with a microphone, but you can change the world more than they can because you have the potential to be more authentic than they could.
Mm-hmm. And one final question, Daniel. If you were starting out today and everything was the same, all right, if you just had the opportunity to start out podcasting again, what would you change, if anything?
I think the big thing would be, from the beginning, create content I know people are looking for. So this is where search engine optimization principles tie in with this. And it's not so much making content for search engines. It's making content that humans are looking for when they use search engines. So, and this is what's working really well for me today. I just wish I did this early on in my first few episodes. look for, use these tools, free tools, paid tools, whatever, go into communities to find out what are the recurring questions people ask and create content that specifically addresses those things. A single episode that addresses a single question, and then you can share that question in those places. And then as time goes on, that episode that answers that single question can rank better in search. So create the content people actually want in your particular niche.
I think that's a wonderful point. And because you build it, like I say in my book, doesn't mean they're going to come. In fact, they're probably not. However, if you've researched it and you know that they want to see an afternoon game instead of an evening game, then you can modify your format accordingly. It's not to say that you shouldn't be authentic and you shouldn't pander to your potential audience, because pandering is never a good idea, because one of the great things about podcasting is your authenticity comes out, or your lack of it, very quickly. And therefore, you know, you have to be real. But the idea of figuring out what your market wants, your listener, your audience, your potential audience wants, and then giving it to them in accordance with your integrity, there's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Absolutely not. When you give people what they want and what they need, they will love you for it.
Yeah. And that's a great point. What they want, what they need, and that will create the connection that you're looking for, because audience is all about connection. And hey, Daniel, it's really been great having you on the show. If people want to find out more about you, connect with you, maybe send you some emails on issues they're having, how do we do that?
The best place to reach me is through theaudacity2podcast.com. That's my podcast website that has my contact information on it. You can email me, contact me through the website, as well as listen to my podcast about podcasting, or follow me on social networks at The Daniel J. Lewis.
At The Daniel J. Lewis. That's great. And hey, if you got a question for myself or Daniel, you want to just send it to me, send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. We answer all emails, hopefully within a reasonable amount of time. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Carrie. It's been a pleasure.
Been another episode of Viral Podcasting. Be sure to visit us at viralpodcasting.com.